Guys.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, starring Score baseball insider Bruce Levine and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw. It all starts now on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Takes a deep breath and deals. Crow Armstrong swings, and it's a high fly ball deep down the right field line. This one is gone! Grand slam home run! Pete Crow Armstrong! Cubs take the lead! 8-6 over the Reds here in the seventh.
Thank you, Zach Zaidman from 670 The Score and Cubs Radio for producing a call that matched the moment Friday night in Cincinnati and good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome back inside the clubhouse right here on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey app, broadcasting live for the Hyundai Score Studios. I'm David Haw along with Bruce Levine talking baseball 9 to 11 like we do every Saturday today, looking into the future, wondering how much history the Cubs can make, and discussing a few curious White Sox roster decisions. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. Chicago wins on Friday. Nothing better than doing Inside the Clubhouse with two Chicago victories. Chicago White Sox take care of the Texas Rangers, and the Cubs with a dramatic comeback again. I saw a stat from Marquee Sports Network yesterday that the Cubs have the most four-run innings of any team in baseball by far. They have 25 four-run or more innings.
Along those lines, Bruce, it was the 11th time the Cubs have scored 10 or more runs already through 51 games. That is the most they have had at this stage of the season since 1898. So as we do this on Memorial Day weekend and we look at the baseball mile marker and we look at where everybody is, the Cubs are ahead of schedule. They're outpacing themselves. They are making history almost every series. The offense seems to be unstoppable, or maybe that's overstating it, but you can never rule this team out because of the way they're swinging the bats.
312-644-6767. You want to get in, Sox, Cubs, anything baseball. David and I are here until 11 o'clock. And David, the one thing that offense does for you when you have big offensive explosions is cover up the pitching that isn't necessarily there. And they certainly did that with a bad outing by Boyd yesterday, okay?
Yeah, he was due. He had gone, it was 19 straight starts, I believe, dating back a couple seasons, not giving up three or more earned runs. Last night, he didn't have it.
Right.
Frankly, it didn't matter. Because after he was replaced by Chris Flexen, the Cub bats woke up.
It did. It does matter, and it did
okay. Why
matter.
Does it? Why does it matter?
It matters.
It didn't
because,
matter last night. Didn't matter
because
last night.
10 runs a night is not sustainable, no matter what the blotter tells you right now that they are putting up record amount of numbers, and their numbers are record wise for their particular franchise, going back to 1930, which was the year of the super juice ball in the National League, where the entire league's average was over 300 that year. Remember the year before, David, when you and I started?
That's right.
That was when there was the big 1929 crash of the stock market, and nobody had money to go to baseball games. So what did they do? Well, we better make it pretty exciting. We have to make it exciting because people don't have 2 cents to rub together. So therefore, 1930 was a humongous year in baseball.
It's a long time ago, and that's the last time. That tells you how much has happened since the Cubs were this productive, and they're never out of a game, Bruce, and I think that you feel a sense of excitement when you watch them because you never want to look away.
So Pete Crow Armstrong talked a little bit about the fact that, you know, even when the Cubs do have a slow start, they don't worry about it.
It's some resilient stuff. I think I said we're in no rush to just, you know, get it going, because you do see those big innings a lot from us, and I mean, the insurance though is huge. Those are really big at bats that can't get overlooked just because we give press a chance to go out and have a, you know, a big lead going out there, and scoring in big clumps like that's nice, but then the insurance is huge.
That's PCA last night after he hit two home runs. His first one came when it was 4-0, and Hunter Greene was seemingly breezing through the first
dominant.
Two innings. He was dominant.
Yeah.
He was touching 100, and then PCA pulls a fastball 99.9 miles per hour, or MPH, as Pat Hughes likes to say, and it was out of the park and the first of two home runs. And that began the barrage. Bruce, PCA hit two home runs, six runs batted in. The second time he has driven in six runs. And the last time that happened by a Cub, it was an MVP season, and it was Chris Bryant in 2016.
I think it's a second time in 8 days.
Yeah, right.
That's, it was against the White Sox. So was it against the White Sox a week ago,
yeah,
Friday?
Yeah, he's had a pretty good month last week.
Yeah, well stated, David. Well stated, well played. The reality is that we're watching something that can be historic again take place with a young player on the Cubs. Now, because we're in Chicago, because we do a Chicago baseball show, are we sensationalizing what Pete Crow Armstrong is, or are we actually underselling it? Does he have his own line of clothing wear yet? Okay. Does he have his own TV and radio show yet? No, he doesn't. But how far away is he?
Well, these things will come with stardom and superstardom and celebrity, and he definitely has a personality that I think he'll embrace these kinds of opportunities without it getting in the way of his focus on the field. It is only a few months into his second full season, and only a year ago at this time, Bruce, he was in Iowa, we need to remind people, which brings us to the Matt Shaw. We are going to have Matt Shaw brought up this week. He's going to be our guest in the 10 o'clock hour. Bruce Bochy, the fine manager, Hall of Fame manager from the Texas Rangers, also will join us. But right now, we're talking Cubs, 312-644-6767, or maybe White Sox after they configured the roster in ways that confound us, or some of us, yesterday before they won 4-1 over the Rangers.
Somehow before the show ends,
okay,
we'll either have a caller or you will say to me, the Vaughn demotion is Tony La Russa's fault.
No, I won't.
No, someone will. They'll allude back to, this is because of Tony La Russa that Andrew Vaughn has been sent back to the minor leagues.
Well, he Andrew Vaughn going to the minor leagues isn't as big of a surprise or maybe as hard to understand as it was Tim Elko joining him and maybe taking the same flight and getting in the same B group, or maybe who knows how they got to Charlotte, but them going together was something that was a bit of a surprise.
I told you not to speculate on the Elko baseball cards. I told you not to buy as many as you did, but you did it anyway.
I gave him a nickname, Bruce. Big Timber.
You did. But, yeah. You know, the situation with the White Sox, we'll get to in our next half hour.
Okay.
But right now, as far as the Cubs go, how much of this offense, and again, it's up and down. It's not just PCA. He alluded to it twice yesterday in the postgame, how everybody, for him to hit a grand slam, three guys had to be on base, okay? And that's what's been happening here. They've been having great at-bats. They walk a lot. They steal bases. So how sustainable, after almost a third of the season, is an offense that's putting up an average of 5.5 to 6 runs a game?
Well, let's look at last May as a point of comparison. This is when the wheels started to fall off in 2024, and you had more of a reflection of the kind of offense that you had and the kind of struggles you were going to endure last year at this time. So I wonder if it's fair, on the other hand, then to look at, well, you know what? If this is the kind of indicator, then it's going to be a fun summer. And Craig Counsell actually cracking a smile. And Nico Hoerner
not
talking
easy
post-game.
To do.
Not easy to do. And when Nico Hoerner talked about Craig Counsell getting into it and having fun, you know that it was a special night in Cincinnati, because that doesn't happen very often.
No, he's not the lampshade on his head type guy.
No.
But, I remember listening to the broadcast yesterday on The Score, and then I switched over to Marquee, listened for a few minutes, and Taylor McGregor described after the PCA homer that Counsell jumped down 4-5 steps all in one. You know, he was so excited.
Well, we have Craig Counsell talking post game. Just how much fun PCA and this offense can be to watch.
There's no question that Pete's kind of doing some things very uniquely, right? And he does some things that other guys can't do. And that's so much fun to watch. That's why you're hearing people chant his name all the time. And the fans see that too. So we're lucky to be able to watch someone like this. This is a really fun player to get to watch. And he's watching him, just take his game to another level at 23 years old. It's fun to watch.
You know what's funny, Bruce, is that PCA now has 14 home runs and 45 runs batted in, and all the stolen bases and all the defensive plays. Meanwhile, and he's doing it loudly, very quietly, the opposite end of the spectrum is the man who last night batted in front of him. Seiya Suzuki, 13 home runs, hit his 13th last night, and he's driven in 46 runs, and he's quietly putting together quite a season.
They are third and fourth in baseball in the RBIs.
They're third and fourth.
They're third
both
and
of those
fourth.
Two.
Yep.
And, you know, we talk so much about PCA because he deserves it. We compare him to the last MVP with the Cubs, Chris Bryant, because it makes sense. But Seiya Suzuki, that kind of production, maybe you expected it, but I wasn't quite sure what to expect from a guy who they had, in his mind, maybe demoted to DH, and he has taken that like a pro.
Frankly, because he doesn't speak English, it's really worked against him as far as popularity.
Right.
I mean, there's no question about it. We don't hear the sound bites except with a translator. He's not a flashy guy. He doesn't have the big personality like Imanaga has, if you're comparing Japanese players. So from that perspective, David, I just think that he's quietly going about one of the great years in Cub history right now, a third of the way through, with very little fanfare.
Bruce, we've got a lot of people who want to weigh in. I think baseball in Chicago is exciting this summer. People have a sense of what they're in for as we begin the Memorial Day weekend and we begin and mark the official start of summer. Let's start the conversation with Paul, who's in Valpo. Paul, welcome inside the clubhouse.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great hearing you guys as well, always. Bruce, I love you, but you bring all the runs the Cubs have been scoring as well as they've been playing, you kind of got a Debbie Downer on the Matthew Boyd start. David called it. He's 19 straight with 3 or less runs. I think you still are like in the 80s with that starting pitching is so important. Jack Flaherty started game one for the Dodgers last year in the World Series. This offense is going to have to continue to be great, and I think they will be, and we got to get bullpen help. And, yeah, you got two starting pitchers hurt, but and see, they still continue to thrive. I just – the whole thing that starting pitching is so important. I mean, teams go with
– come on. You don't believe what you're saying, right?
What's the Pirates record? As good as Paul Skenes and Jared Jones?
That's 1.5 pitchers that they have there, right? Come on, no one's going to tell me ever.
There's a great starting pitcher.
You're
wrong, Bruce. You're wrong. It's a different game, man.
I'm not wrong.
Thanks, Paul.
You'll see at the end of the year. The Dodgers are an anomaly because they could stockpile so many pitchers in their organization that they don't need any starting pitchers to go more than 12 to 15 starts a year, and they can still flourish.
I think what Paul's bringing up, Bruce, and I don't know whether you're right or wrong, but I do think this, the margin for error with the Cubs starting rotation is larger than on some teams
because of the offense right now,
but I think right now being maybe this season because of the way this season
it's
constructed,
it's not a year sustainable. They're not going to score average 6 runs a game all year. It doesn't happen. I mean,
okay, let me push back a little bit here. Right now, meaning as long as Shota Imanaga is out, is when you want your offense to carry your team. And because when Shota comes back, you get your ace back, and you've been doing this without your two best pitchers. The Cubs are 11 games over 500 without their two best pitchers being able to contribute most of the season.
Okay.
And so I think you look at the offense's ability to carry them through through that adversity, you get a sense of optimism.
They have done that so far. It's not sustainable. Look, I'm not saying the Cubs pitching has a chance to get better, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not worse. It can get better. And when Imanaga comes back, if he gets the proper rest, and, you know, this is 3 weeks now, we heard initially, hey, after 2 weeks, he'll start ramping up and he'll be ready to go.
I was never buying that.
And it's like, you know, then last week we hear from counsel, it looks like it's going to be the middle of June, mm-hmm. okay? It's a long way away from right now.
Texter, it makes a very good point. 312, Cubs pitching is mediocre. There's no debating that. The numbers don't lie. They're done when they make the playoffs because you can't beat the better teams and better pitchers. Last night they beat a pretty good pitcher. Last night they beat one of the most exciting young pitchers in baseball.
He was coming. You know, you could tell those first three innings told you what a great young pitcher he is.
Yeah.
After that, he faded. He's came back from an injury, right? So he wasn't built up. That guy is one of the best pitchers in the National League.
Yes, he is.
And they weren't touching him the first three. But I give the Cubs a tremendous amount of credit for what Armstrong talked about, and that is there's two things going on. They're getting the job done late, but they have that believability and calmness about themselves that if they do fall behind, they're going to catch up. And I give Pete a lot of credit, but to me, it still comes back to the idea that you have one of the better players in the game in right field, and he's batting second, and even when he's slumping for 2 weeks at a time, he has good at-bats, he continues to give you professional at-bats, and a belief in himself that I think permeates through the rest of that lineup.
Well, that was the first time you mentioned Kyle Tucker. Yeah. It's 9-17.
Yeah, right.
What took you so long?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, that Hoyer and Carter Hawkins, they get tremendous amount of credit for pushing back, trading three guys that Houston is using to try to win in their division, and knowing that they needed the star power of a guy like Tucker.
Let's go back to the phone line, squeezing our buddy Ron on the south side. Good morning, Ron. How are you today?
Hey, good morning, Dave and Bruce. And Bruce, you're right. This is the first time of the season, Memorial Day, you can assess your team and just teams around the league. Well, first of all, regarding the White Sox, it's the exact same as it was last year at this time, as it was when the season ended. But here's my concern. And, oh, God, finally, Andrew Vaughn. I think they were dragging their feet on that because they drafted him so high. But here's my thing, guys. Where is the development? Okay, you send him down
Pitchers.
Yoko.
Pitchers.
Okay, but guess what, Bruce? Now, okay, Texas. I was listening to the game yesterday. Okay, as one of the top pitching staffs in baseball, they can't hit. Okay, you said that the Cubs, good hitting, that can kind of mask some of your weaknesses.
Not for long.
With the pitcher. Well, conversely, yes, the White Sox are pitching pretty deep. Bruce, you have to have position play. Byron Ramos, Colson Montgomery. Where you right now, you can't name the other Montgomery. He's
Brandon
a stingray.
Braden Montgomery. He's tearing it up.
Yeah, but that's it.
He's tearing it up.
He's an A ball. But other than that,
what about Joe Borchardt?
they are really, and I'm stating what's obvious, terrible right now as far as developing. And you can have all those great pitchers, Bruce, and you're going to lose 4-3, 5-3. You're not going to win. And I know it's hard. You choose a path which you're going to be a strength at. But at some point, you need at least 2 or 3 good offensive players. The way this team is looking right now, Andrew Benintendi coming back. So, yeah, it's horrible as far as development. You all have a wonderful
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate the phone call. So, Ron piles on the White Sox a little bit, and I think he's making sense. But also complimented the Cubs because of the way they're constructed.
Two things. One, development has not been there. Two, the talent has not been identified.
On the White Sox?
Yeah.
I think that.
So you can't develop someone beyond their ability, okay? You know, I love Mydroth. I think that he's a gutty little player that's going to continue to play good baseball for the White Sox. I can't tell you that he's a starting shortstop on the Chicago White Sox in 2 years. I can't tell you that. But I can tell you that the big talented players on the White Sox, position-wise, they're not identified right now. Ron's right. They're not there. They're not being developed, but is the quality there? That's the question. You know, do the two Montgomerys have the quality to be stars in the big leagues?
It's a fair question. Let's squeeze in a phone call before we break. Bill is on the north side. Good morning, Bill. Welcome inside the clubhouse.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, I just want to say, a lifelong Cub fan, first game at Wrigley 1975, and this is probably the most exciting Cubs team since 2016, and PCA is the most exciting Cubs since Javi in his prime there. But this team needs another starting pitcher, or it's not going to go anywhere in the playoffs. And, you know, a month ago I would have said, let's get Alcantara from the Marlins, but his stuff is not the same right now as it was. So I don't know what they're going to do, but... You know, I appreciate, you know, what Ray and Horton and Boyd have been doing, but, you know, that's not, you know, it's not a playoff caliber pitching, starting pitching lineup right now.
Thanks for the phone call,
so,
Bill.
You know, before we go to a break, David, so Brown, Ben Brown is in player development still.
Yeah, I think he is.
Okay. So is Horton. He's going to be in player development. Okay, He's in player development. He's not a finished product.
He's developing into somebody you could count on this year.
You hope.
You hope. Maybe you hope. Even you plan.
You hope. But, I mean, some of these things, like, we live in a time where people want it instantly, right? If it's not there instantly, you're no good. And that is just not the way that baseball is, okay? We had to wait for PCA, Bush, Amaya to have the years that they had last year in order to start stepping up their game, showing the quality of their game this year. That's the way baseball is. No matter how much you want it right now, the Cubs are short in starting pitching right now. They know it better than anybody. They're trying to address it. They have been trying to address it since last winter. And, you know, they did a really good job in bringing in Boyd and Ray. Without those two guys right now, you'd be in a world of trouble.
And when we come back, we'll continue to address the Cubs' historic start. But also, if this is a season of development on the South Side, why did they send down one of their developing projects to AAA after only 32 at-bats. It's inside the clubhouse. David Haw, Bruce Levine until 11 o'clock. Bruce Bochy and Matt Shaw in the 10 o'clock hour. Talking Sox next when we get back on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Nerds.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
1-1. Lifted in the air. This could do it. Robert Jr.'s calling for it. And that's ball game. White Sox with a 4-1 win in this opener. And the Sox sure do love playing on Friday nights here at home. 4-0 this season.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Thank you, CHSN. As you heard, the Sox very good under the Friday night lights.
City Connect unis.
Yeah, maybe. You like those red unis?
Go Bulls.
Go Bulls is right. They do play well on Fridays.
I TGIF. Love those jackets. You know the jackets that that John and
John
Stone
Stoney?
And yeah. I think I saw Ozzy and Chuck. I don't know if they gave one to Chuck, but Ozzy was wearing one.
Ozzy was wearing one. Ozzy was
Chuck will have to buy his own.
Frankly, Ozzy will wear whatever helps keep him warm up there on the perch. He gets a little cold on the CHSN.
Speaking of Ozzy, a quick aside.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Absolutely. Congratulations, Ozzy Guillen. As we said yesterday on the Chicago lead, it's worth noting here because he's a teammate on the score. Ozzy Guillen was honored in Springfield. It was he was feated for being Ozzie Guillen, the manager of the 2005 Chicago White Sox, 20-year anniversary. He went down there and the governor and Chris Welch and a lot of...
House of Representatives.
Yeah, a lot of dignitaries from Illinois. It was Ozzie Guillen's day, and he is deserving, and we're lucky to be part of the Ozzie Guillen experience.
As I texted him, a great American, a great Venezuelan, you know.
It'd be a great movie.
Citizen of two states.
It'd be a great movie.
It would be.
The Ozzie Guillen story.
Would Ozzie Jr. play Ozzie?
That'd be something else. He's a character as well. But anyway, congratulations to the entire Guillen family, because I know Ozzie would say that it's a part of his family. It's the reason why he has been as successful as he is. Let's get back to the White Sox, Bruce, because I found it very curious that in this season of development that Tim Elko was sent down after 32 at-bats. Andrew Vaughn, you send him down, and even though he was drafted where he was and they have the confidence and belief he'll be back, it was a long time coming. So one move I encouraged and applauded. The other move, kind of have a hard time seeing the logic in it.
Yeah, you know, it's like the poor man, rich man. You know, they're both basically the same age. I think that Vaughn might be a year older than Elko. So he's been around a while. And I agree with you on the Elko part. You know, the swing, the excitement, the possibility of a home run, you know, it was there. And just in the way he played, he brought some energy to the team, I thought. Again, is he an everyday player in the big leagues? I can't tell you that.
Well, they can't either, and yeah. I don't know if they're any closer to answering that question, and they get any closer by sending him to AAA. How do you adjust to major league pitching and the way they've adjusted to your swing if you're facing AAA pitching on a nightly basis, which you've already proven you can master?
Yeah, it gets back to what Ron talked about in our last segment, you know, and the fact that is there really enough talent on the White Sox to develop at the major league level, David, right now?
Do they have enough prospects that you could project being starters on a good White Sox team?
Right. Let's take it a step further. 2 years from now, when the White Sox are better, contending, will any of the players that are starting now be starting players?
Well, it's a good question. I like to ask it every now and then. I think you look at up and down Friday's lineup, Chase Mydroth, he's got to be an infielder on a team that wins more than on a 500 White Sox team. Is Chase Mydroth part of your infield? Probably.
He would be a second baseman.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's a second baseman. Is Mike Tauchman going to be here? No. Let's look at last night's lineup. Miguel Vargas? Yes, but why? This is the other part of the Elko thing. It's hard for me to understand when you're talking about an invoking development. Miguel Vargas was the AL Player of the Week. He played third base. He's starting to get it. What do we do then, White Sox family? Well, let's move him to first base. Let's move him to first base.
Yeah.
What's behind
that? I'm with you on that. You know, you have a guy that's starting to feel good about, and it's the same thing when we look at the White Sox bullpen and the roles that they have out there. One day, Leisure is your middle reliever. The next day, he's your eighth inning man. The following day, he's your closer.
That's a really mixing and matching talents and roles, and I don't think that's to be defined.
Well, the message, David, is we're going to lose a lot of games.
Yes, and they know that, and it's being heard loud and clear. Let's go back to the lineup, Bruce. After Vargas, Benintendi, will he be here when the Sox are a 500 team?
No.
Probably not. Luis Robert Jr., definitely not, unless you decide to keep him because nobody else will take him. Palacios, no, placeholder. Michael Taylor, placeholder. Edgar Carroll will be, yes, right?
In some form, yeah. I mean, you have ideally the best catcher in the organization ripping it up at AAA.
He's tearing it up, Kyle Teal.
Yeah.
19-game hitting streak, I believe.
Right.
Down at AAA Charlotte. Okay, Lenin Sosa. I think he's a placeholder now at this stage of his development and career. And Rojas at third base. Tell me why that makes sense. I don't understand some of the things going on. So the point is well taken. The best players in the Sox organization are at the lowest levels.
Let's give Chris Getz and his people a little break here.
Okay. Back off. Hold on. Deep breath. Cleansing breath.
They can't spend any money. you cannot win without plugging in. Okay, it sounds like a campaign theme, but really, that's the sad situation the White Sox are in right now. They're not adding any money to that payroll. It's just not a part of the equation at this moment. And Chris and his people have to wear it. That's just the way it is. And again, any trade that they make for Robert Jr. or any of their other players, they're bringing back other people that are going to be under contract control for a long time.
Because there's so much attention paid Andrew Vaughn and his inconsistency, let's hear from Chris Guest, because he did explain why I think the headline of Friday's news is White Sox demote former high pick. Here's what he had to say about demoting Andrew Vaughn.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at some of the underlying work that he's done, I mean, there's a little bit of unluckiness in his game. You know, he would square up the ball, you know, from time to time and get hits, get big hits. You know, I think at this point, though, you know, we can't just rely on the expected numbers. I think, the level of production that we need to see out of him and that position needs to be better. And so, you know, there's some physical adjustments that can be made, and you know, we're going to dive into that.
Bruce, you are the dean of Chicago baseball reporters.
It's sad to hear that.
Well, that's okay. It was a compliment. I wasn't criticizing. I think when you hear and see a demotion of a guy who was drafted where Andrew Vaughn was drafted and had started as much in the majors as he has started, what does it remind you of? Are there other examples of guys who've been sent down, brought back up, and had success?
Colson Montgomery.
He hasn't had success.
No, I understand. But this is, so we're dealing with modern times, mm-hmm. right? Modern baseball, modern society. Everybody needs time off. Everybody needs a timeout. Everybody needs to be looked at not as a physical being, but a complete individual. And this is the White Sox version of sending you off to summer camp.
So this is, when you say Colson Montgomery, this is in the Sox playbook, page 4. What to do when a player's struggling.
Correct.
Send him down, demote him, give him mental vacation?
Yeah, but the demotion is portrayed differently, even though it's the equivalent of the same thing. They're not saying, you know, it's not one of the old-time managers like Earl Weaver or Tommy Lasorda saying, get this guy out of here. Right. I don't want to see him again.
Right.
There's no Lou Piniella saying, I can't use this guy. Get him out of here. That's not the times we live in. The times that they lived in, it was, you're either getting the job done for me or not. The message isn't any different in the inner circle, but the exterior is, we need to take care of him. We need to get him mentally right. When did you ever hear any of those old-time guys say, we need to get him mentally in the right place?
Well, they wouldn't say that
because you either went down and got the job done or you didn't. I'm not saying that was right. That was just those times.
Okay, I'm going to use Cubs examples then, since I think you're right. But you look at, they have had success in recent years. Let's call it the Jed Hoyer tenure, because
Epstein Hoyer.
Well, it was Theo and then Jed, but I think that Jed was here for these examples. Kyle Schwarber, right? Ian Happ, Nico Horner, all those guys went down, came back up, and succeeded. And look, we started the show. We are celebrating. This is the season of PCA. What happened a year ago? A year ago at this time, it bears reminding every Cub fan, and maybe Sox fans in this context, Pete Crow Armstrong was putting on an Iowa Cub jersey on May 24th, 2024. A year later, we're chanting his name everywhere, and he's the most exciting player in baseball.
Frankly, he needs another nickname to go along with PCA.
Yeah, we do need that. Yeah.
Right? I mean, he's when you have these great moments and stretched out periods of time,
you get another
second nickname,
you do need
right?
two nicknames. I mean, he can take one from Tim Elko, who didn't deserve his, as it turns out. What are we going to call him? I don't know. It's like PC Awesome, but that doesn't really, that's still with the initials.
Bambino too?
No.
Sultan of Swat
too? That's bad, Bruce. That's a bad swing and miss.
Sultan of Swat too?
I'm sorry, that was a whiff. We'll have to work on that one. We'll workshop that.
We live in the times of two, right?
Yes.
You know?
Well, All right, so back to the Sox, though. I you don't want to pick on them because I think they do have some talent at the minor league level. But I do think it's hard to understand the consistency with the decision-making.
The difference in your – let's go back to your analysis. The difference in Horner, Schwarber, Happ – compared to the White Sox people who sent down?
Yes.
They had success first. Then they failed. Then they went back, okay? Vaughn's case, I guess you could say he had some success. He was a kind of a 20-homer guy, 70 RBI, 600 bats. Wasn't satisfactory to anyone, including Vaughn himself, okay? The expectations for a top three pick is 30 home runs, 110 RBIs, hitting third or fourth in the lineup every single day, playing a good first base, right?
Yes, I think that's a good point. Yep. You know, chimes in, 708. Torkelson, another good example of a guy sent down, came back. But the success early on, that's a really good point, Bruce. Have to look at Andrew Vaughn's body
of work. He had moderate success.
Moderate.
Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to overstate that success level.
I mean, the concentration wasn't on him totally. But since this last 2 years now where they're in the rebuild, it's like, dude, you have to carry us. And maybe he's never been a carry us type guy.
Dude,
ever.
You got to carry us, dude.
Yeah.
See, I love it when you go dude on us, Bruce.
They don't have guys that can carry them.
We got to get to a break, but a couple of texters really coming through here. How about MVP Crow Armstrong? Very good. The California Kid, not bad. And then we have definitely have to get in this from our guy Peoria Matt, who chimes in. You're looking for a slogan?
Slogo.
If slogan. If the glove don't fit, you have to hit. 312-644-6767.
Started a monster here.
Cubs, Sox, whatever you want to talk about. It's Inside the Clubhouse. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Nerds.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Four.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
It's a beautiful day here in Chicago. Cubs and Sox both in action later this afternoon. 3 o'clock, Cubs are playing the Reds down in Cincinnati right here on The Score. And the White Sox are hosting the Texas Rangers at Wright Field. Great day for baseball. Bruce, you've had a busy week. You've been out there in front of a story that has demanded some further explanation. It certainly created a little bit of a stir in Chicago among Cub fans, baseball fans, Cubs media. The All-Star Game is coming to Wrigley Field. They have not made that official. But
yes, I did.
You have said the Cubs have not made that official.
We don't need them to make
it official. But you have confirmed through your sources. I'll let you take it from here. And why it is important for not only the baseball fans in Chicago, but the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois.
It's a huge windfall, David, for the Chicago Cubs. Bigger for the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois. According to the people I talked to, this could be revenue for that 10-day period of the All-Star Game in 2027 at Wrigley Field of $250 to $300 million for the city and the state.
Wow.
Yeah. And again, a lot of money for the Cubs, sure. But the reality is, being a Chicagoan my whole life, knowing that money is going to be coming in and that the concentration is going to be on what a great city Chicago is again and how great it is in the summertime and why aren't you coming here. You know, all those things that have gone away from Chicago over the last 10 years or so, whatever you want to call it. You know, the place where you're afraid to go, all those things that you have up there. This is a really important thing for the city and the state.
It hasn't been in Chicago at Wrigley Field since 1990. It was in Chicago on the south side in 2003. I believe it was 2003.
Right.
Why has it taken so long for Wrigley Field? And what is the biggest holdup in terms of the security surrounding the ballpark?
So the bollards around the ballpark, basically those are the concrete sections that have to be built. So no vehicles of any size or whatever it could drive into the ballpark and create a situation where a terrorist can get in. Frankly, that's what it's all about. And Major League Baseball security said Wrigley Field is not for the big event. We don't think it's safe enough, even though they hosted the 2016 World Series. So they have temporary blockades up during games right now, if you notice.
Yes.
You know, on the back ends of the ballpark.
You've been out there. Yeah, people can recognize that.
So they would build concrete bollards all the way around the ballpark, including on Addison, where they would build up that area on that street as well. It'll cost $30 million. The state of Illinois is going to pay a third. The Cubs are going to pay a third. The city of Chicago are going to pay a third. This is a big push by Mayor Johnson to get this done, working hand-in-hand with the Cubs and the state.
And that's where it gets tricky, and this is a baseball program, not a political program, but those politics involved make it such that there was a city council meeting this week where that was discussed, introduced,
it was brought up,
and,
yeah.
And I think that final approval is not yet
$250 to $300 million in revenue.
Okay, I know the revenue.
If you're the alderman of the 51st ward, which I always call you anyway.
Well, I think that's not my nickname. I need a better nickname too. Then if that's what
that's
you call me,
that's not bad. I mean, there is no 51st ward other than the.
Here's what I'm getting at, Bruce. Because there has yet to be final approval, from the way I understand it.
I mean, it has to happen.
Is there a reason why the Cubs are pushing back at the final confirmation of this? Because they
no,
may be...
Cubs aren't pushing back on it. This
they
is
denied
just,
it yesterday.
No, Major League Baseball will announce this in due time. They always give 2 years notice to the city that's going to have
it. Okay, that's 2 years, but...
It's going to be 2 years by July. So sometime this summer... There'll be an official announcement by Major League Baseball, the Cubs, and the city of Chicago.
Mayor
Johnson's going to get up in front of this, okay? He's going to be standing there with Tom Ricketts and Crane Kenny, and they're going to be talking about the great All-Star game that's going to come here in 2027.
Is the Cubs' reluctance to confirm any of this to other outlets who didn't beat you on this story that anything related to
they're not going to confirm breaking their own story.
Okay,
they want to break it on their own.
I just wondered cynically. I'm a reporter, Bruce, and I look at this and I wonder. All right, is this something that was leaked because now not city council? It's out there. It's out there because now they can't say no. Now they can't reject it.
It wasn't leaked. It was okay. So what prompted me? I've been asking the commissioner. Manfred and the Cubs.
You got
this question
dial.
For 10 years, right?
Mm-hmm. You
10
have
years.
Been. This is your project.
Right.
Yes.
So I wasn't going to get beat on this story if I couldn't. So I went to my sources and, they confirmed that this deal is done as soon as baseball, MLB security is confident that those ballots are going to be in place, okay? Once they are guaranteed, and again, you said it right, it has to be approved by the city council, has to go through. It'll get jammed through for sure because...
Well, especially now.
The council members...
Especially now that you got it out there, Bruce.
The council members are not going to back away from this windfall of revenue that's going to come to the city.
Nice job.
Are there a lot of barriers, no pun intended, coming up before this? I don't think so. I think it's a clear slam dunk all the way, 90, 94 feet or whatever it is.
I appreciate your reporting. I think it's a story we've been talking about. It was nice to get confirmation.
I don't care to be right. I know I'm right. The reality is that...
Well, Bruce, I know, but this is the vetting process I was looking forward to because we need to talk through these things.
No doubt about it. But, I mean, again, finding out why this is so important for the state, the city... Mayor Johnson, the Cubs. I mean, it's outside of the World Series. It's a jewel for any city, any state.
You got to love it.
And again, you asked me 37 years. It'll be 37 years since the Cubs had the last one. It's a long time. There, six teams, as I told you the other day, have had two. Right?
I know. I know. Right. It's
and
time.
All of them.
Past
all of them
due.
Had two stadiums. Within that time, you know.
Well, okay, we're going to get back to baseball when we come back. And you know what question I'm going to ask? Who's more likely to start the 2027 All-Star Game? Cade Horton or Ben Brown? And what will their roles be moving forward in this season for the Chicago Cubs? 312-644-6767. David Haw, Bruce Levine here until 11 on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Nerds!
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.